before I forgot it, or forget it, I forgot to tell Don that we have more lessons for the Revelation study on Wednesday night printed out here on the front seat, so you can pick them up today if you want to. When we turn to the book of Romans, the first chapter sounds like an account of the spiritual and moral situation within this country ourselves that we are living in. He describes various sins and how that men are just continuing in them, and how that they have taken what God has given them and abused it, turned to homosexuality and so many sins there. As you had moved through the book of Romans, we find that Paul, as he continues on, he speaks about the Jew and Gentile sinning. And whenever we turn to Romans, the 7th chapter, we find there from verses 14 down through verse 23 that Paul brings out his challenge with sin. And I can honestly admit I can identify with what he's saying here. He said there are things that he wants to do that is spiritually correct and good, but it seems as though he fails to get it done. And then he says there are things that he does not want to participate in and do, but again, with the weakness of the flesh, he will yield to them. As we notice in verse 23, here in Romans 7, Paul said, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Then he makes a statement here that certainly describes the condition and the situation of mankind. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Paul knew he was helpless in and of and by himself. Each of us to realize that we're in the same situation that Paul was. And so we want to look a little bit at what is set forth here in the book of Romans this morning as a basis of our lesson. When we turn to chapter 3, and there in verses 9 and 10, and previously he had talked about in the other former chapters, previous chapters, he had showed how that both the Jew and the Gentile had sinned. And here we find he says, "What then? Are we," speaking of the Jews, "better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. There is none righteous, no, not one." And in verse 23, we find, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Within our study in the book of John in our Bible study class, as Travis this morning in the discussion there led about how the Jews were there contending with Jesus. And they put their trust and their faith in their physical ancestor, Abraham. And they did not accept Jesus. But we realize that as Paul wrote here, as we read there in verses 23 and 24, that man, he realized that he was there and sin was certainly a challenge to him. When you think about sin, and if you'll acknowledge, I sin, think about the wages that it pays. In Romans 6 and in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, yes, we'll all die physically, or at least this physical body will be separated from our soul, our spirit. But this is not talking about the physical death of the body, the separation of body and spirit. It's talking about a spiritual death. If we continue in sin and do not have these sins removed through obedience unto God's will, primary obedience of hearing, believing, repenting of our sins and confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being buried in baptism, which will wash away our sins. Or we as Christians, when we sin, we have the avenue to pray to God. If we'll repent, we find that our sins can be taken away and we can be cleansed. And so we certainly need to do that. Whenever we find that this is the situation of sin with mankind, and reading down through here in chapter 7, we are not trying to get you to despair, because Paul doesn't stop when he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He goes on, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. It is through the help of Jesus, by his sacrifice and his support, today that we can overcome sin. And then as we notice in chapter and verse 1, here we find, you might say, a different tone. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so it is indeed a privilege to think that I can escape this condemnation. I can elevate myself up above that wretched man of sin. But I would hope each of us would realize the true challenge. Just as Paul, an apostle of Jesus, he had to deal with this, and so do we. So it's important then that we would be mindful of this each and every day. And when we do sin and we know it, let us quickly turn to the Lord and beg his forgiveness and do our level best to not participate in that sin again. Now then, as we go on down in chapter 8, Here we find in Romans the 8th chapter and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And so we can become a child of God. We have to be led by the Spirit. And in Romans 8 and verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with together." It is important for us to realize then that we can be a child of God. When we notice in John the first chapter, we want to look at verse 15 first. Becoming a child of God, Paul said, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, really, what have I done that should make God want me to be his child? How great have I been? I think we all realize that I do not deserve to be the child of God. I do not deserve to be a joint heir with Christ. When Christ lived here upon this earth, he lived and he lived a sinless life. I have fallen far short of that. But as we would look about Jesus as he came into this world, we know that he came to his own, and his own received him not, in John 1 and verse 11. Then in verse 12 he said, "But as many as received him, to him," or to them, "gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Are you a child of God or a son of God? You have that privilege, that opportunity to be a child of God. You are not excluded from the invitation or the opportunity to be a child of God. But you have to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and realize of how weak and feeble you are and how helpless you are to be a child of God or to be an heir in and of yourself. It's just impossible. You have to be willing to turn to the Lord. Also, we notice in John the 3rd chapter, and there in verse 5, when Nicodemus came unto Jesus, even though a ruler of the Jews, he recognized the power and the ability that Jesus had, that indeed he was a man or one from God. And so Jesus told him that he needed to be born again. And of course he asked the question, well, how could he do that? Jesus answered in verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now then, we look around us in our life and we see people now who declare themselves to be billionaires. I can't even grasp that figure. really don't care to. But we find that so many people are desirous of wealth, riches, and things of this earth. And people will make the statements, boy, I'd sure like to be an heir of that individual. There is a true story about a gospel preacher, and I forget his name now. He's long past been dead. But he was a very stately man, and he lived in one of the southern cities. And every morning he'd take a walk down through town. He wore a top hat, and he walked, you know, very upright. And so there were some young boys that heckled him one day, and they said, you act like you own the whole world. His answer to them was, my father does. And truly that is the truth. Now, whenever we become joint heirs with Christ, it's not going to be the physical things that we're going to inherit, but it's going to be the spiritual things of eternity. And I think that we should all want to be an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, and that we would do nothing to cause God to strike us off of that one to receive an inheritance. And may I say this, that God has enough to go around. As children of God, we can become His children. Again, when we turn to Galatians, the third chapter, and there in verses 26 and 27, Paul wrote, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Then he goes on and he says, for as many as of you, or there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all equal. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We realize, of course, that from the back in the book of Genesis, the promise was made unto Abraham. And within the scriptures, we can find the lineage that we can become the children of God and we can become a joint heir with Christ. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, but we can become an adopted child. And our inheritance will be equal to Jesus. What more could we ask? But it seems so many people in and around us and in this country are concerned with all the material things, both of physical things to own and also then the desires of the flesh, the immorality and everything of that nature. And we find that becoming a child of God is the last thing on their mind. And they feel like if they miss out on the pleasurable things of life as they live, then they miss true living. You and I can become children of God. But as we put on Jesus through baptism, As we go to Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 14 and 15. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We must wear this name, the family name, of being a Christian. Now, again, just because we assemble and set in a pew where Christians are met and gathered together, or just because that we might associate ourselves with some religious organization, that does not make us Christians. That does not make us a Christian any more than going out to the hen house and sitting on the roost with the hens, and because we sit there, we become a hen. There are specific things that we have to do to become a child of God. And as we do that, then we can be called a Christian. As we notice in the last part of Acts, the 11th chapter, in verse 26, we find that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. The word Christian is used way too loosely today. Many, many people feel that they are Christians when they are not. A lot of them are truly ignorant of the fact that they are not Christians, because they have within their mind that it really, all you got to do is associate with some religious people. But as we saw in Galatians 3, that we all need to be baptized in order to become a child of God and put on Christ, and then we can wear his name. But what can we inherit? Oh, we're not going to talk about stocks and bonds and acres of ground and money and things of this nature. We're going to be talking about the spiritual things that, as Brother Larry mentioned in his prayer, should be so precious to us. In Hebrews, the first chapter and verse 14, we read here of an heir and the salvation that it brings. Are they not all ministering spirits, speaking of the angels, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The inheritance that we will have will be salvation, eternal salvation. Within the New Testament, the word inherit or inheritance, I think, appears some 30 plus times. And so it is mentioned enough that it should grasp our thinking and cause us to investigate and see what it truly is. If you would receive a letter in the mail tomorrow, and it would speak about that when some rich individual died, that your name was found, mentioned, and listed as one of the ones to inherit from that estate, would you not start investigating, well, what is this? How is this about? What do I have to do to claim my inheritance? We have to do things in order to claim the inheritance of salvation. In Hebrews, the sixth chapter, and in verse 12 of that chapter, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Brethren, there are a number of you here who have served the Lord for many, many years. And you've been very, very faithful. But yet, you don't have that inheritance in the grasp of your hands. You still have to have patience to continue on. You still have to have faith to motivate you to be obedient and do God's will. But whenever you get close to the end of the race and you see the finish line up ahead, it motivates us to even push just a little harder to try to make sure that we cross that finish line as a qualified participant. And so we need to be having the patience and the faith to do it. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, we notice that Noah here, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This man inherited physical salvation from the flood because of what he did in obeying God. No doubt, Noah faced hecklers every day. People mocking and laughing at him of engaging in his work for some 120 years to build this monstrosity called an ark. But it did not deter Noah. He continued on. He has given us an example of faith, dedication, and one who will hang in there and finish the course. And along the way, you're going to find challenges from others. Remember, you want to be, and I need to remember, I want to be a joint heir with Christ. It may be difficult. It may not be easy. But it's worth every ounce of effort that I have to put forth to be able to be a joint heir with Christ. Peter speaks of this inheritance that we can receive as an undefiled inheritance. 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I think we all know about the earthly possessions that we might have. So many of them, most of them, if not all, can be lost or stolen, or they are destroyed by time because of the elements of the atmosphere. But this inheritance that we will receive from Jehovah, from our Father, as an adopted child, will not deteriorate in any way. It'll be a very glorious inheritance. In 1 Peter 3 and in verse 7, as Peter speaks here to this woman that is a Christian, but her husband is not, we find that he says, Likewise, ye husbands, ye dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It is indeed great to know that their spiritual life after the grave. As we face death, we find our mind looks at it in various ways, and sometimes they're difficult to handle. But we know one thing, that the grave will not hold us, make us a bond servant there. We will be resurrected unto life. James tells us in James's second chapter and in verse 5, hath not, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Indeed, we can be an heir unto the kingdom. The scripture that sums it all up is found in Revelation, the 21st chapter, and there in verse 7 of that chapter. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now then, at this point, what do we have to do? If you're not a child of God, you have to obey in primary obedience. And brethren, friends, to all of us, we have to have faith. We cannot look out across the plain and see heaven with our physical eyes. All we have is a description, a rather meager description, but yet something that is described so wonderful in Revelation that it's hard to comprehend. But we have to walk by faith in order to obtain it. Paul told the brethren in Rome, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Each of us can cultivate and strengthen our faith each and every day of our life. As Brother Larry pointed out, that this physical body might deteriorate and become weak, but the spiritual body can be renewed day by day. This is something that we need to ask God to help us do. We may not be able to get around and physically do what we want to do or what we have done in the past, but brethren, we can become stronger as children of God. And we know that as the gospel has been delivered unto mankind and people obey the gospel, they become Christians. And in Colossians, the second chapter, and in verse 6 of that chapter, as ye therefore have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Continue on. John wrote for us in John, the first chapter, 1 John 1 and verse 7, that we have to walk in the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. All of us here today still have to finish the journey. Some need to begin. As we sing this song we're about to sing, we want you to realize that it is an opportunity for you to respond to become and obey the gospel, make your need known, that you'll be assisted in obeying the gospel, or that you will make amends for sins that you feel separate you from God in a public fashion. If you're subject to the call, why don't you come while together we stand and while we sing.